Welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life with New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer. On today's program, Joyce will be teaching from her series, Live to Love. When you hear the word love, what do you think? Do you think romance, relationships, and marriage? That is a kind of love, but there is also another kind of love that Jesus taught, a tangible love that you can share with the whole world. When he was asked what the greatest commandment was, Jesus said to love God. Later, he challenged his own disciples to take it even further and told them they should love one another. Who do you need to love today? Maybe it's your spouse, a friend, a coworker. People are all around us, and God wants to show you how to walk in his love. Now, here's Joyce from her series, Live to Love.
I'm going to start by reading you a story. The title of the message today might sound a little odd to you. It's called Blessed, Broken, and Given. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But let me start with this story. It's one of my favorite stories about walking in love. A little boy about 10 years old was standing in front of a shoe store, and he was barefoot. He was peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the boy and said, "Little fellow, why are you looking so earnestly in the window?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes." The lady took the little boy by the hand, went into the store, asked the clerk to get her a half a dozen pair of socks for the boy. She then asked for a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little fellow to the back part of the store, removed her gloves, knelt down, and washed his feet and dried them with a towel. By the time the clerk had returned with the socks, she placed a pair on his feet and then brought him also a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pairs of socks and gave them to him. She patted him on the head, and as she turned to go, she said, "No doubt, my little fellow, you feel more comfortable now." The astonished lad caught the lady by the hand, and looking up in her face with tears in his eyes, he asked her this question, "Ma'am, are you God's wife?" He assumed if she was showing him that kind of love that she must at least be related to God. And so I think we get the point. Now, Matthew 26:26 is a scripture that we're familiar with because of its teaching on communion. And it simply says that Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And from this, God has put a teaching in my heart that he wants to bless us. We know that. The Bible tells us over and over that God wants to bless us. I know that he wants to give us as a blessing to the world because he told Abraham, "I will bless you and I will make you a blessing." But that can't happen without the brokenness that the Bible teaches us about. Now, this is a word that can be frightening to people because we don't want to think about any breaking in our life or even the thought that God would work in our lives to bring brokenness to us. So let me explain to you what I mean. It's not a bad thing at all. We all have good things in us if we're born again. I've been saying that all weekend because I want you to know that you have what it takes to walk in love. You don't even really have to pray for love. If you have Christ, you have love living on the inside of you. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to pray for love. We need to pray to walk in love. And we need to pray, if you're bold enough, for God to do whatever he needs to do in our lives, whatever is in my flesh that's standing in his way, any disobedience, any stubbornness, any pride, anything that's standing in my way, that God will deal with that in such a way that it no longer hinders me or him, and he can do what he wants to in my life. Don't just pray for God to bless you. Pray for God to use you. I'm going to go talk to these people over here. You're not very excited. Maybe I'll just talk to the people up in the balcony so they don't feel ignored. Amen. Don't just pray for God to bless you and fix all your problems. Pray for God to use you. I even pray this sometimes. God, I don't care if you have to tie me to the altar. Do not let me get away until you accomplish in me what you want to accomplish. Amen? Being used by God sounds like a lot of fun, but there is a work that has to take place in us in order for that to happen. Let me explain. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. We're a tripart being. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our spirit, brings the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God is in there. You're going to see in a little bit that the whole nature of God comes to live in us in seed form when we're born again. Well, God wants what's in us to mature and grow up and work through us so other people can see Christ through us. That's our goal, for people to see Jesus through us. Okay? But we have something that the Bible calls the flesh, which is our soul and our body. It's a combination of your soul and your body. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So just to keep this as simple as I can, in order for the good stuff in me to get out here where people can enjoy it and use it and I can be a witness to other people, there has to come a crucifixion of the flesh or a brokenness in my life where my life is no longer all about me, but I have become pliable and moldable in the hands of God, that no matter what direction I'm going in, if God touches me to do something else, I'm willing to lay aside my plan and do what he wants. Where I know that everything I have has been given to me by God, and I don't cling to my possessions, but if there's something that I have that somebody else needs, then I'm willing to let go of that and use it in God's service. We're not owners, we're stewards. Did you hear me? We are not owners. The Bible never tells us we're owners. We are stewards of God. He's trusting us with his possessions, with his power, with his name. We're his witnesses, and we have to get it through our heads that although God wants us to enjoy our life, and he arranges for that, we are not here on this planet just for us. Amen? And especially in the times that we're living in now, my goodness, the world needs help. And it's fine for us to pray for God to do something and for revival to come, but we all have to do our part. God works in partnership with his people. And more than ever, we need to let the light shine. And the only way that I know how to do that is to put on the armor of light, which is love. That's what the Bible calls love, the armor of light. We need to be a light in dark places. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, the Bible talks about this being molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 29. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and to share inwardly his likeness. Now, you know, people have all kinds of ideas and thoughts about predestination and, you know, preordination and things like that. And yeah, I'll just tell you what I feel like it means. When you see a scripture that says we are preordained or God is predestined, I think that what that means is that's what God's decided. He's made arrangements for that for anybody who will walk in it. But when we have a promise from God, it's never something that is a for certain going to happen without somebody on the other end doing their part. You know, God has promised us many wonderful things, but I do have to believe them. I have to put my faith in him. And until I put my faith in him, then those things are not released in my life. Now, we know that God is sovereign and he can go beyond all the normal regulations of how things work. But I'm just telling you that when God says that we are foreordained or he has predestined or predetermined that we should be molded into the image of his Son, that doesn't mean that I'm just going to grow up and be spiritually mature while I sit around and do nothing. Amen? That means I'm going to have to cooperate. I'm going to have to be willing to say no to self. I'm going to have to be willing to let the things go in my life that are hindering the work of God or hindering my witness. I'm going to have to say, God, you do whatever you want to do in my life. Now, let me give you a little example. The Bible teaches us that he's the potter and we're the clay. I want us to look at two scriptures, Isaiah 64:8. I'm so glad you're here today. I feel like this is going to help us, help us, help us. Okay. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we are the work of your hands. Everybody say, I'm clay,
I'm clay.
And God is the potter.
God is the potter.
Now, Jeremiah chapter 18, the first four verses, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. He was about to give him an object lesson, just like I'm about to give you. So then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at the wheel. And the vessel that he was making from clay was spoiled in the hands of the potter, so he made it over, reworking it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. So we might say that God had an original plan for his people. When he put Adam and Eve in that garden, he had a plan for blessing and fruitfulness and no pain and no sickness, no disease, no sin. But as usual, man messed it up. Has anybody noticed that we are experts at messing things up? Thank God for his redeeming power. Amen. And so you might say that the original intention that the potter had got spoiled. But now he takes it, and through Christ, the Bible says we are recreated in Christ. So we get a whole new second chance, a fresh start to start all over, and God will take that spoiled vessel, that one that did not turn out to be what he wanted it to be, and he will refashion it, reform it into what he wants it to be if we will let that happen. So let's just say that we are this clay right here. Just here we are right here. Blob. Okay. Now, pitiful example, but we're going to use this to say, and we're going to say this is Jesus, which of course we know it's not, but just the best thing I could come up with here in Grand Rapids this morning. We sent somebody shopping for this, thank you. So here's me, here's Jesus. He said, I want you to be molded into my image. So that means that what I am is going to have to be pressed into Jesus. Now here's the problem, there's more of me than fits in there. Uh-oh, guess that's going to have to go. Ow! Oh, now I guess this has to go. Oh, ah! Oh, now there's more. I don't want to give that up. Can I just keep that? That has to go. And then pretty soon we end up looking like Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Learn the value of walking in love with today's offer, Live to Love. This teaching series is available now as either a 4-CD set or digital download for a gift of $20 or more in U.S. funds, and we do accept all major credit cards. You can order today's offer from our website at joycemeyer.org, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-789-0089. Again, the number is 1-800-789-0089. New from Joyce Meyer, a study Bible designed to help you renew your thoughts, the Battlefield of the Mind Bible. With insight from Joyce's best-selling book, Battlefield of the Mind, paired with the scriptures that inspired them, explore God's Word in a deeper way to help you learn to think how God thinks, gain practical truths for overcoming life's challenges, train your mind for ultimate victory, and more. The Battlefield of the Mind Bible, now available from Joyce Meyer. Thanks again for listening to Enjoying Everyday Life. Our mission here at Joyce Meyer Ministries is simple: sharing Christ and loving people. Remember, together we can do more.